Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 1st, 2012. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time, the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 888, toll-free, 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. I often hear from some of our listeners that I would have asked a question, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Please, folks, interrupt me. Call, press the one button on your dial, and that'll tell me that, indicate to me that you want to make a comment or express your opinion or ask a question. Please do so at any time. You may also access this program through Blog Talk Radio number of 646-652-4620. Send us your email anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I'll personally respond to each one of them, I promise. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net, and sign up. In his monthly newsletters and podcasts, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You will benefit by it. Don't wait until it's too late. Liberty Talk Radio broadcasts are archived and available from our website, but are also accessed via iTunes. You may follow us on Twitter under @LibertyJoe. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on our subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, I feel a little guilty. You know, there are so many organizations that I support and financially and in every other way, and yet I don't mention them on the air. I do mention Andy Sutton because, about 5 years ago, he called me. He said, hey, since you've just started on the radio, how about we do something together? And things grew from there. We became very, very good friends from there. I've never met him personally, but we've talked on the phone. And obviously, he's been on our program recently every month, every third Wednesday, giving us an economic report. He's a wonderful person, wonderful family man. I mean, I can't say enough about him. I know so many other people like that. I want to Paul Jacobs, you know, Citizens in Charge. You know, he writes the Common Sense on a daily basis. I mean, a remarkable person. I should mention him every single time. The Future of Freedom Foundation, the Foundation for Economic Education, all of these people. You know, I can go on and on. And I almost feel guilty when I don't. But anyway, I'm rambling. Folks, I start most broadcasts almost in the same manner. And that is, I just tell everybody, it's over. I'm depressed. You know, I don't see any hope. What are we doing? I'm thinking, you know, it. And I do. I start every program the same stupid way. And I guess I do that because that's exactly the way I feel. I am not concerned so much, as much, I should say, about the state of affairs as I am with the state of mind. Because if we have the right, correct state of mind, we can correct the state of affairs. Now listen to this, folks. This is very important. If we have the wrong state of mind, you can't have the right state of affairs. And right now, our state of mind is gone. Over. Everything that I, nearly everything I hear makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I mean, a kindergarten teacher would say, Johnny, that makes no sense. Sit down. You're being punished. I mean, that's exactly what I hear from our elected officials. But even worse, I hear the same utterances, the same statements, the same logic from the people. Every day, Joe blows like me. People repeating what they see here on TV or see on TV. And they use that as justification. Folks, without a state of mind, a change in the state of mind of the people, there cannot be a change of the state. Because we are the state. But we have been duped. We have been duped into believing what they tell us. We are not being dissidents. What I said, just like I say at the beginning of every broadcast, we need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Are we? Hell no. We're not. We're being compliant. And we know, you know what's amazing is we say, oh, those bums in Washington, they're no damn good, you know. I wouldn't give a plum nickel for any one of them, you know. And then the jerk goes and votes for one of them. Puts him back in again. Well, it's my obligation to vote. But that's because he has been brainwashed to believe that garbage. Because in schools, they don't teach any longer that you should be a dissident in action. Dissident in thought and revolutionary action, you know. Revolutionary in thought, dissidents in action. They don't teach that. They don't teach us that the president's the easiest job in the world. He has no power to do anything. And yet we hear day after day after day on radio, television, the news media. Boy, you know, we got to get the right person in the White House. He has to have the knowledge and the wherewithal. And he has to have the experience and understand the bureaucratic structure and how things work in Washington in order to be effective. No, 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 no. We need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. We're not. We are absolutely not doing that. And so I start each broadcast saying, well, if we don't, how could the state of affairs be any change when the state of mind is stuck? It's moribund, I guess, whatever the word is. And this is why I get discouraged. I don't get discouraged because the bums are doing crappy things. They're all bums. With the exception of just very, very few. They're very, very few. Like Ron Paul. Very few. And the people cannot see that the entire rotten system is against him. The system that they proclaim to hate. It's against Ron Paul. And they say, well, I don't know. Ron Paul's kind of a nut. No, how about the system that you're supporting is a nut? Or you're the nut for supporting the system. You know, that's the thing that drives me crazy. I just cannot understand why we can't see that more plainly. It is amazing how many times I have had a conversation, and believe me, I walk out of this conversation. I don't try to get into them. I'm asked. I have Ron Paul's sticker on the car, my car. I never put a sticker on my car. I decided I'm going to do it. I stop somebody and go, oh, you're a Ron Paul supporter. I go, well, yeah. Yeah, what are you doing that for? Well, what am I going to tell this guy? He's an idiot. Well, because he's fighting for my liberty and my freedom. He's fighting for the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, individual rights, the sovereigns of the individual.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't vote for him because he can't get in.
Why, just stupid things like that. I mean, stupid. We are a stupid nation. This should be the United States of stupidness. The United States of stupidity. Yeah. USS. Not USA. United States of stupidity. That's what we are. We got to be the dumbest nation in the world. You know, at one time, people revered us. I mean, they looked up to, oh, we want to be all those crazy Americans. They're free. They do this. And today, they look at us and go, these people are stupid. Absolutely stupid. Every one of my son's friends who go overseas, many musicians, and they go play, and they remark, they say, it's amazing. You know, after a gig, you know, they play somewhere. One just came back from the Netherlands, and he said, you know, we get off the stage, sit down. He said the young people would sit around and talk. They wouldn't talk stupid garbage like they do in the United States. And this is a young guy. When I say young, isn't 30s, 40s, you know. I guess 30s. And he goes, and he's like, they actually want to talk about social issues, politics. He says, they sound somewhat intelligent. He says, in the United States, you sit down and go, says, hi, how you doing? All garbage. He says, I really miss that. This is what they say. I really miss that. I miss that. You see a girl, she's not bad looking, you know, and all this. And she's got brains. She thinks. May not agree with her, but she has some reason why she thinks that way. You can have an intelligent conversation. He says, I can't do that here. Well, that was the preamble to this whole thing. You know, let me stop for station identification. I really think I need a swig of coffee.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Oh, boy. Folks. Okay. I had to get a swig of coffee. I almost missed that again. All right. What I wanted to talk about this morning, I had to leave early this morning, by the way, so I may not go to 7:15, which I normally do. I'm going to have a dog neutered because it's a friend's dog of ours who doesn't have the money for it. So I got the dog now, and I'm going to get it neutered for them, and I'm paying for it. I'd be more than happy to do that and the whole bit. But I got to be there 7:30 this morning, and it's almost 27 here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Folks, I let me admit, I truly love this radio program. I would love to have an AM/FM station. Give me a 15-minute spot. 15 minutes. Give me a 10-minute spot. If there is anyone out there who can get me a 10-minute spot on any AM/FM station, I'll give them a free T-shirt. And I will mention them on the air, or I'll mention their organization on the air. I'll give them all the free press they want. I really want to go AM/FM. Let me make that announcement. I have been trying to do that, but I guess so is everybody else in the world. And I'm almost at the point of buying my own half hour or 15 minutes. I may do that. I'm going to go to KFAQ and say, what time slot do you have available? I want to buy it out of my own pocket. And then I will get the advertisers for it. I have tried to do this through media consultants. Boy, they sluggish. They are sluggish. You know, well, we're going to see you tomorrow. Oh, it's always to mañana, and mañana never comes. I got to get on the air. I got to get AM, FM. I got to get a following. Be on the internet. Now, I want the internet because I want the international coverage. You would not believe this, but the number two city for number of listeners, the number two city is Beijing, China. It's unbelievable. Beijing, China. The first one is Cupertino, California. And that's because of probably a lot of government installations there. I don't know. Maybe the government listens to me. But if the government is listening to me, I hope they would learn something. One of these days, I think, feel like I'm going to get, you know, stormtroopers are going to come in and carry me out. All right. What I wanted to talk about today, though, is the program. Doomsday Preppers. You know, here we go again. Now, folks, listen to this. You know, the assumption in the mind of America, dumb Americans, is that, well, you know, at least they show both sides of the story, right? They portray the people who are preparing for some sort of calamity, and they have all different reasons for it. Some are in earthquake zones. Some are in tornado zones, like we are here in Tulsa. And believe me, the whole right across the street got blown away from me on January 4th. 1974, three days after I moved in, the entire subdivision right across the street got blown off the map. I was lucky. It could happen. Those people probably weren't very prepared for it. And neither for that, I'm not prepared if they blew the whole house away. But they have different reasons. Some people feel that there'll be hyperinflation. Some people feel that there's going to be a social unrest, or whatever the case may be. But what this program does is it vilifies those people in an indirect way who are preparing. You see the people, you know, and with all due respect, they ain't the people you see in the situation comedies on TV. They're not the people you see Dancing with the Stars, you know. They're the regular, everyway Joe Blow, and sometimes not very attractive people. Now, I'm not saying that they're funny looking. Don't get me wrong. I'm funny looking. Believe me, I'm not good looking at all. But, I mean, they portray them in their worst environment. You know, they have gas masks on, walking around with gas masks. And I watched it a couple of times. One guy says, I have seven-year supply for 70 people. You know, well, that's fine. I have no problem. I have no problem with that at all. I think that's wonderful. But what do the people think when they're listening to this thing or watching this program? Oh, boy, if you're a prepper, you're a nut. They want to associate. They want to make sure there's an association between preparing for something that very well may happen. In other words, being responsible for oneself, being sovereign, and being an absolute nutcake. They continually hammer that into us. That impression is deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper every year. Boy, if you have some extra food in the house and a little extra water, you know, and maybe, you know, a few extra batteries, you're a nutcake. I can tell you that. You know how I know? I watch Doomsday Preppers. See those guys? Yeah, you're just like them. That's exactly what they've been doing. Exactly what they've been doing. And what's really remarkable, and I think unconscionable at the same time, is the fact that after the program, you know, there's the segment, that segment of the program, where a person explains what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they're preparing and whatever. And some of them really are over the top. I mean, you know, really over the top, in my opinion. But that's fine. I give them even more credit for being over the top, by the way. Then they say, well, the probability of this happen is 2%. Well, first of all, where the hell did you get the 2% from? And you know what Americans think?
Well, yeah, they're doing something. Something's never going to happen. They're really a bunch of nuts, you know? Hey, Martha, let's go shopping. The mall's open.
You know, it is, and we are, this is part of the training that we get. This is part of the molding, the indoctrination. And we watch this stuff. In fact, we may even go to the point and say, oh, I watched that. Was that stupid? I'm not going to watch it. But they accomplished their objective. They don't want you to watch it. They want you to conclude that should you have an extra bottle of water in your house, you're a nutcake. You're a wacko. You don't belong in this society.
Well, maybe if you lived in Tanzania, you would, but not here in the good old U.S. of A.
That's what they want, and they get that. I titled this, The Boy Scouts Have It Right. Our kids are growing up. We encourage them to do things like join the Boy Scouts, play soccer, whatever. In the Boy Scouts, the first thing they learn, the very first thing, to be prepared. And we say, yes, Johnny, you know, or Mary's in the Girl Scouts. That's right, you know. Be prepared. Now, I don't know if the Girl Scouts is be prepared, but they teach that. I know it's the motto of the Boy Scouts, but the inference is the same with the others. Yes, Johnny, you know, be prepared, you know, study, you know, and tells you what to do and be prepared. Always be prepared. We teach it to them. We teach them something positive for once. Something makes sense. And then when they grow up, they go, be prepared. What are you, a nutcake? You know, what happened? Where did we come from? Where did we go? When do we make this transition from Johnny, be prepared, and you got to take a test to get your badges and whatever, and they ask those questions, and you know, good, you have the answer right. But don't do it, because if you do it, you're a wacko. This is American mentality, all of it. And the few people who are not in that mentality are ostracized, every one of them. No longer do I speak to anybody about this. Any way, shape, or form. I went to dinner with a woman who's a doctor of audiology. And she works for a major hearing aid company, Shop Gal. And I always ask, you know, what is the hearing aid industry, the manufacturing industry, see for the future? What do they see? What are the trends and whatever? And I'm not talking about, you know, doomsday. My wife's an audiologist. So I want to know that stuff. You know, that's what I'm interested in. And, you know, she tells me that the aging population, da-da-da-da, she gives me some sense. Very interesting. It was something like 10,000 people a day reach the age of 65 in America, you know. But I said, you know, are we replenishing those 10,000 a day with young people who have jobs, you know, that have productive jobs, et cetera? No, the answer is no. Well, so then we're getting older. We're not replacing the older people with new people with the same types of skills. What does that tell you? You know, I said, I'm getting a little concerned about, you know, how we're going to support this whole. And I said, I'm just kind of concerned that, you know, if the population is getting older and we don't have enough new young people with the right jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and our national debt came out, I'm getting kind of concerned. Now, I didn't say, you know, wacko shit. I mean, excuse me, wacko stuff. I just gave her this, you know, made a comment. I said, well, just kind of concerned that in any country, because we've seen this in Europe where the aging population had a deleterious effect on the entire system. She says, you're right. I said, all right. And I didn't say anything. And then she hesitated for a while and looked at me. She said, and that's why I would like for my children to leave the United States. I looked at her like, I didn't want to say it. I said, leave? Why? They want to study. She says, no, I want them to leave the United States. This is not going to be a very pleasant place to live. We're looking in place at, we're looking towards South America. She said, we spent some time in Brazil, and they may be better off in Brazil than the United States, but this is no place for them. There's no future for them here. My teeth almost fell out. I very rarely have anyone saying anything like that. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, that's really, talk about radical, you know. But she's right. But it's the mentality of the people. The reason why we can't get out is the mentality of people. 1 week ago, my wife and I are biking. We went biking. My knees are really bad. I got arthritis. I got, you know, no more cartilage and all this. You know, I used to triathlon. I used to run long distance races. I was a heavy duty racer, raced twice a month, you know. My favorite was like 15, 20,000 meter races that were grueling, believe me, grueling, half marathons. You know, I did a couple of marathons, but a lot of triathlons. I did 9 triathlons. Absolutely grueling. It just, I tell you, you know what, it did more harm than, it did no good. It did a lot of harm. Anyway, but we're biking back from a short bike ride. Just wanted to get out. You know, the weather's been on and off here. So it was a nice afternoon. We said, let's go out and bike just for an hour or two, you know, and just get back into the groove of things. And of course, my knees are bothering me a little bit, but I went through it anyway. Driving, biking back to the house, I noticed there's wood, oak, looks like oak, piled up in front of a house for the garbage man. This was on Sunday. And they pick up the garbage on Monday morning. Beautifully cut, about four foot lengths, beautiful. I'm looking, why would anyone throw away beautiful wood like that? It's great firewood. God forbid, the guy has a fireplace. God forbid something should happen. He has some wood, he can, but you know, that's the problem. You know what my wife and I did? Went home, emptied out the trunk of the car, went back and took whatever we could and brought it back and put it in my stockpile. All right, now, what am I? I'm a prepper. I'm a nutcake. But in the event, we had an outage once. We were, this house was without electricity for 4.5 days. Now, many people in the close vicinity were out for a couple of weeks. Some of the people actually moved beautiful houses. Middle-class houses. Nice houses. You know, they have a SUV in the driveway, you know, swimming pool in the backyard. And what happens? There's an outage. They leave their house and they go to a hotel where there's electricity. I mean, they're normal, by the way. They're normal. My wife and I are in the house burning our wood in our wood-burning stove. Beautiful thing. You know, it's enamel, dark green. It's beautiful. Very stylish looking. See, I love it. Warms the whole house. We were fine. It was a little dismal because, you know, at night, you know, the candles are not as good as big lights and whatever, you know, regular lights. We were fine. We were fine, but we were the nuts. We were the crackpots because we were able to live in our house. Now, folks, please understand that. Do I pick up the wood? Hell, if the guy says, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking your trash, idiot. This is trash to these people. Understand. Think of the mentality. This very good wood, and it wasn't old wood. And some of my wood is getting kind of old, so it burns very quick. So I need, and I'm ordering more wood. I always keep a stock on hand, just in case. But you know, but my neighbors don't like it because my neighbors can see the and it's a nice wood pile. You know, I have a rack for it. You know, they don't like it because they don't like to see that. They like to see a clean backyard, perfect grass, nothing out there but a few flowers. They don't want to look at wood on a wood rack. They don't talk to me.
You guys, nutcake, got wood on his backyard. You know,
So to this one person who threw away the wood, that was garbage. To me, that was gold. I mean, that was a find. Think of the mentality difference. Think of what's happening to this country. When one person, when most of the people are saying, what is valuable, a valuable resource, is garbage. A valuable resource is garbage. And another person says, ha-ha, I've struck it rich. Oh, and by the way, I was walking my dog the other day. The dogs. I got three now. I'm babysitting one, a Bajan. I found, and I'm not kidding you, believe me, I swear, anything that's white and holy, in front of a house, I mean, in the street, scattered, I notice a penny on the floor. I always pick up a penny. You never know if it's a copper penny. I look closer. There was another penny. I picked up 45 pennies. A few of them were, which were 95% copper pennies, and one dime. Someone's garbage is my find. What is wrong with this country? When a valuable resource like wood that they should be stocking in the backyard, they should be converting their fireplace with a heat later so in case something happens, they can cook on it, they can have some heat, etc. They have that. It's a resource. And they're throwing away. They're throwing away a natural resource that I see as valuable as gold. Now, I couldn't sell it for anything. But in an emergency, that's what it would be worth. So, how long do we go on? How long do we persist with this mentality? Before something happens and the whole system collapses in chaos. I want you to think about that just for a second because I need another swig of coffee. I'm getting dry.
You're listening to Liberty Talk
Oops,
Radio.
What happened to my sound? Let's get
You're
the sound.
You're listening
up.
To Liberty Talk Radio.
All righty, that's better. Here we go.
You're listening. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Joe Cristiano. We've been on the air for about a half hour now. One thing I forgot to do during our prior intermission was to give you a telephone number to call in on, and I forgot. I just forgot. 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. 888-773-4496. It's getting kind of late. I got to leave soon, but within the next 15 minutes. But just give me a call, even if it's to tell me I'm a nut, and we'll take it from there. And if you call me a nut, I will have to agree with you. Okay. Another thing, you know, this is an unrelated subject, but we used to be a can-do nation. We were just honored throughout the world of being people that can do anything and guts and independent, you know, free individuals and not tied up with government garbage and bureaucracies like all the other nations were. And we had free spirit, you know, crazy Americans and stuff like that. And we had a can do anything. Well, I've been a Toastmaster. Now, I'm reaching here, so understand if you don't see the connection, you say, "What, Joe, you went too far." I agree. Okay. I've been a Toastmaster for 29 years, a little over 29 years, and some odd weeks, whatever it is. I quit a week or so ago. And I'll tell you why I quit. It's the same thing, that same mentality. When I first joined, there were some gurus who knew, you know, the business. I knew how to communicate. And when I gave a speech or did something, and one of the gurus, you know, the masters of the place, you know, said, "Joe, this is what I'd like for you to do. In order for you to improve, you need to do this, this, and that." I went home and I did it. I mean, one time I gave a speech and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. This was before I really found what the hell my brains were still, you know, garbled and whatever. And this gal rose and she said, "Joe, what I'd like for you to do is you taped your speech, which was very good. I want you to take that tape home. I want you on a manual typewriter. I want you to sit down. I want you to type every word in utterance that you hear. Everything that you hear, I want you to type out." "What am I going to do that for?" She says, "Just do it." It took me hours to do. It was the most painful exercise in the world. It was horrible because I found that most of my sentences weren't even complete sentences. I sounded horrible. I was monotone. I made no sense. I rushed through words. I slurred words. I couldn't even understand half the things I said. But I typed out that whole thing several pages long. And when I finished, that was a life-changing experience for me. And Rose, to this day, I say thank you. I quit Toastmasters because now I try to impart that same knowledge that I have acquired over the past 30 and 40 years of professional speaking to new people, to the new members. And guess what kind of response I get? "Well, you have your opinion, I have mine." If I would have said that 30 years ago when I first joined Toastmasters, 29 years ago when I first joined Toastmasters, they'd say, "No, that's fine. You can have your opinion. There's the door. Get the hell out. Don't ever bother coming back in again." They may not say that, but I know that's what they would be thinking. And that was the attitude. You did it. There was this guy Rex and this guy Don. I mean, they were phenomenal speakers. One time Don got up and gave me an appraisal on one of my speeches. He got up, took a piece of paper, and he crumbled it up, threw it at me, hit me in the skull with a piece of paper. He said, "The only thing I have to say is don't ever do that again." Now, he didn't tell me anything specific. Don't ever do that again. He made me go back on that whole speech to determine what was so bad about it. And he was right. It was terrible. And he was right. Don't ever do that again. Well, today with the namby-pamby attitude of Americans, if someone gives a lousy speech, here's the appraisal you get. "Oh, well, that's Bob. That was a really wonderful speech. I really enjoyed it. That was really good, and I thank you very much for it. I think the way you communicated with the audience was very effective." And they go, "Blah, blah, blah, blah." And then they'll say, "Well, next time, you know, maybe next time when you give a speech like this, you may want to do that, that, that." And they sit down. Absolutely worthless. Most evaluations are absolutely worthless. Now we go back to everything else about the American mentality. We're no the can-do. We're don't let anyone feel badly about it. You know, don't prepare, folks. Don't be a doomsday prepper in any way, shape, or form. Because if you are, you know, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. And that's what it's about. Hurting somebody's feelings. And I gave an evaluation of a guy, gave a speech, who was a good speaker, and it was a good speech. Unfortunately, it did not accomplish the objective very effectively. Not in my opinion, it didn't. I know, I'm a pro. I know that stuff. I know what could have been absolutely perfectly effective for that speech. It was an easy one for me. But he gave a good speech. And I told him he's a good speaker. And then I went on to say, to tell him what things, techniques he could have used. What attitude he could have come in with that speech to change everyone's mind to bring him over to his side. He's pissed off. He was upset.
Well, he ripped me a good one, didn't he?
Well, what the? I said, you know, when the student starts instructing the teacher, it is time, folks, for the teacher to leave. And I made that my last meeting. That's almost 30 years of Toastmasters. It didn't come very light. Now, it wasn't because of him. He was the last snowflake that dropped on the mountainside that caused the avalanche. Because I've heard more and more of that. I've counseled with people, mentored people, and the past 2 years, they have done absolutely nothing that I've asked them to do. I give them assignments, and the assignments I give them are actually easier than the book assignments. I said, I don't want you to go there yet. I want you to do an easier one. You know, it's like I play the drums. And sometimes when I have a friend of mine who every couple of weeks I go there, and he's a professional. He's a studio musician and everything. He's a percussionist. And I go there, and he said, nope, you're going too far. This is what I want you to do. He writes down a couple of notes. Just do that and then build on it. You know, in other words, he gives me a much easier assignment than what I'm trying to do. And I go, oh, crap, I got to go through all this little stuff, you know. But he's always right. So I come home and I do the boom, 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 you know. And I go, oh, no, boom, 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 and then I get into it. Boy, I got some routines now. I've been working on it for 2 weeks. That's really fantastic. I feel so good about it. But he had me start with one half beats. I just want you to do one half a beat. I said, what do you mean one half a beat? That's all. He said, then build on it. Once you get that, he said, what do you mean I can get that in? He was right. And this is what I'm trying to impress upon the newbies, if you will. But we can't. But you see, I go back to what I said in the first time. The mentality of Americans is scary. It doesn't, the state of affairs doesn't bother me. I mean, it's horrible. It's the state of mind that bothers me. And I see that everywhere. I see that in my Toastmasters meeting. I see that among friends. I see that among my neighbors. Ho-ho-ho. Let me tell you, talking about nutcakes, every one of them. I'll bet you couldn't find an extra glass of water. It's an entire subdivision of a couple of hundred houses. If the water shut off now, not one person could probably flush their toilet.
Oh, because we're Americans. We don't do that stuff.
It's all the same. It all ties into the same mentality. It's the state of mind. Our state of mind is all wrong. We are no longer the can-do nation. We are the wait for the president to make a pronouncement to tell us what to do nation. And because of that, we go nowhere. Our minds are atrophied, or atrophying, I guess. And they're getting mushier and mushier and mushier. And there are a few people, very, very few, of less than 1% who realize, uh-oh, we're in trouble. They're not fighting the system. They're smarter than that. They're not dumb like me fighting the system. They get out. They leave the United States. They find alternatives. Get their kids out. You know, they understand. They're thinking. Now, I'm not here to suggest that, by Thursday, everything's going to be, you know, flames. No. I'm just saying, look at the situation we have at hand and ask yourself, did the Boy Scouts have it right? Did the Boy Scouts have it right? Be prepared. Now, if you could honestly say, nah, that's garbage. That's only for kids, you know. We teach them that because it's a nice thing. But we really don't mean it. You see, we even lie to our kids. We tell them, be prepared. We don't mean it. Because as parents, we don't mean anything that we say. Not today. It ain't cool. So we do nothing. And then when something happens, we don't look at ourselves and say, are we prepared? Are we a sovereign nation in and of ourselves? Can we pick ourselves up by the bootstraps? Blah, 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 blah. Can we? The answer is no. So we look for FEMA, the government, the military, someone to bail us out. And then we say, well, we got to vote for a strong president because we wouldn't have all this. It's not the state of affairs, folks. It's not the state of affairs at all that bothers me. It's the state of mind. And our state of mind is really way off track. And unfortunately, speeding in the wrong direction. Now, with that, like I said in the beginning of this broadcast, how am I supposed to be optimistic? Really, think about it. You can't. If you know, I love to talk about money. You know, the value of money. What does money represent? I ask people, what does money represent to you? If I give somebody, I ask, what is money? The answers I get are unbelievable. They have no idea. They assume, well, the government, they have no idea. No concepts. We have no recollection of what the Constitution said and the Declaration of Independence intended. Because we don't study that anymore. We do study how important the president is to the country and how it's important for us to have a president that knows the ins and outs of Washington so we can get things done. Now, remember, you don't have to do a damn thing because the president will get things done. And that'll be our downfall. Really our downfall. It is our downfall. We have a caller. We only have a couple of minutes. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning.
Joe?
Yes.
This is Sarah from Broken Arrow.
Sarah from Broken Arrow. Sarah, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to ask you to keep it within a minute because we're going to lose our bandwidth in about 120 seconds, okay? Thank you for calling in.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your show so much, and I'm always encouraged, and I feel like I'm going to be doing things that are going to be better. And this show really encouraged me today to get more prepared and to do a lot of the things that you do, that I know that you do, that you've talked about doing on the program. And so I just wanted to thank you so much for this show. And I am going to put it in practice today.
Sarah, you have made my day, month, year, decade. Thank you so much for calling in Liberty Talk Radio and being a listener. I appreciate it. And if I have not sent
well,
you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And if you'll send me your email, mailing address and your t-shirt size, I'd love to send you a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt for making me feel good. Okay?
Okay. You've made my day.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Oh boy. That's all I need. That's enough. And where is my paper? That's enough. And I will, you know, that's good enough for the next, that'll last me about a year. Jeez. Unbelievable. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. One takes some effort, you know. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign as this. It says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.